Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And an early happy new year to all. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of November 20th and 21st. Parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio when the season opens. Blah, blah, blah. We got that all going down. November 25th, Thanksgiving Day. The second portion of the coastal zone. Duck and Canada goose season opens. Unfortunately, only one goose. And the pheasant stocking and quail stocking going on for the 23rd and the 25th. Numbers look like this for the pheasants. In a Rack and Fin Radio listening area, Kyers Mills, 200 and 300. Howardsville, 50-70. Manahawk, and also 50-70. Medford, 80-130. Stafford Forge, 160-240. South Jersey area's Dix, 130-190. Glassboro, 100-150. Mad Horse, 90-140. Mad Horse, man, that's a badass little management area. Millville, 340 and 510. Lots of birds, lots of crowds, especially on Thanksgiving Day. Look out for that. Port Republic, 50-70. Nantuxent, 110-170. Tuckahoe, 110-160. Winslow, 140-210. And for the Bobwhites, the 23rd, Greenwood and Peasley get 280 each. And on Thanksgiving Day, for Thanksgiving Day, they're stocked the night before, 600 each. Just a reminder, the donation fee for hunters helping the hungry, unless the deer is below 50 pounds, has been waived for the entire duration of the deer seasons as they extend into the new year. Great cause. Get involved with a lot of stuff going on. Also, Monday and Tuesday, the winter trout stocking is underway. We'll get into that a little later on in the program. But the main meat of Rack and Fin this weekend is Tog Blackfish. Get to it. Grab that cup. Grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Packed, man. We are packed. Stuff like a Thanksgiving Tom turkey.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station. Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Tog season is going full tilt boogie. Now, I never really closed. The limit went to 5 fish. It is prime time. It seems to be getting better by the day. Now, the blow we had, what was that, Thursday night into Friday morning? Yes. Woo. I mean, that's dropping some water temperatures, I believe, and the bite's going to get even more intense. However, it's been, all the people I talked to, the areas I've been fishing, some of the jetties, boats, whatever, it's been mixed. I mean, you're either hot or you're not. So I said, man, what's up with this? Jigs or rigs? What are we doing? How deep? What kind of structure? Called in the big gun, Captain Brett. He takes them. Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing, based up there in Barnegat. Captain Brett runs a 23-foot Parker and a 20-foot Mako Pro skiff. So he has the front and he has the back covered. He's one of the best, most productive bottom anglers along the South Jersey Shore. He's on the line with us right now. Going to give us some tog how to, where to, and what the bleep is going on with these slow-growing bottom feeders, crab crushers. Captain Brett, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
You're more than welcome, Brett. I put the call in, you know me. Okay, I'm trying this, I'm trying that, going here, going there, having some success, but I'm noticing, Brett, there's a big disparity. It's like, I guess, the income gap. Catching tog and not catching tog. Guy next to you having green crabs, you have green crabs. He has a rig, you have a rig. I have a jig, he has a jig. There's difference in catches techniques, Brett, it's really getting me flung. So I'm doing okay, but not in the numbers that I'm seeing caught, and the bite's going to intensify even more, easily into the Thanksgiving week and beyond, into probably early December. What do you think, Brett? What is your take on the tog nation right now?
Well, the tog right now, this is still, we're beginning the season. Most of your action is actually close. So, like, all your jetties, your inlet jetties, any rock piles that are close. And when I say close, I don't know, 35 feet and less. You know, if you're fishing the ocean, you don't want to fish deep. We were out, I tried a spot, I don't know, 45, 46 feet. And there was a bunch of dogfish. We only had a couple tog. Then we came inside, we came further, closer, and it was like lights out. I mean, it was loaded with tog. Now, you have a lot of shorts. There is a lot of shorts out there, but you just got to pick through them right now. But the number of keepers are definitely better. So it's
good
as this water. Yeah, as that water cools down more, you're going to get there should be more and more keepers. And then, as that season goes, you said December. Yeah, we'll fish all the way till Christmas for them. Mm-hmm. That's when you want to start moving out deeper water. So So that's kind of like the trend. You fish inshore first, close, or the jetties. The guys fishing the jetties have the best, your best shot. And you said rigged.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a segment on that a little later on in the program with, hopefully we can track him down, the jetty jockey himself, Bobby Misak. But Brett, let me digress for a minute. Talking about the doggies, man, they are beyond ferocious this year. They're some of them are hitting shads, umbrella rigs. I mean, they're crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot. And as a charter captain or even like say a recreational boater, if you're tide fishing, if you're getting a few doggies on that wreck, I move. If we get, three, four, five doggies, we're out of there. I want to get a spot that has, doesn't have the dogs. It's tough. Sometimes you got to move around.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like those ones closer to the shore, those 35, 40 foot, inside that, you don't have as many dogs. Once you get to that 45 and deeper, it's a lot of dogs. But
that's what happened to us, yeah.
That'll change. Yeah, as it gets colder, those will push out a bit. So,
Captain Brett, let me ask you this. Excuse me, people. Types of structure you're pinpointing or looking for? Anything in particular? I know on the reefs, togs love tanks. I've been saying that for decades here. I've actually 18 years doing the program, and that's been a proven fact. But anything in particular, any reefs, any structures that you want to pinpoint? I know there's going to be fish here this time of year. The tide's right. The water temperature's right. That are your go-to spots?
Yeah, I like... I like the barges and the tanks, anything that's going to have holes,
mm-hmm.
Cause those holes will find, they'll be those, that's a perfect area for the tog to, sleep in at night or for safety. So if you get those holy structures, a lot of those barges are steel, that they break down
right.
And you got holes in them. They are perfect locations. And sometimes, guys that are fishing, all of a sudden you drop down, you hit the hard structure and then you drop. If you move, I always have the guys move as you're using a rig or the jig,
mm-hmm.
as you feel it, if you drop into a hole, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a bite instantly because you have there pog in that. And the hardest part of that is getting that pog out.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, they remind me of the triggerfish, how quick the triggers get in those nooks and crannies and break it out. Sometimes you have to wait up to 5 minutes to get that fish to move. It's crazy. Join us online is Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing. Brett, you're so based out of Barnegat, correct?
Yeah, I do trips out of Waretown and also Barnegat Light. I do pickups on Barnegat.
Yeah,
Light,
my internal GPS is always got shot on here. Well, Brett, let's get to the rigs and the jigs. Now, you've been instrumental in working with S&S, designing some of the chin record jigs. Your choice. Sometimes you're in an area where jig's going to be better. Other areas, rigs are going to be better. When do you make that decision?
Usually it's when we go out there. I usually have a couple rods strung up with the rigs, and I do the snafu I try to keep everything simple, especially mm-hmm. running the charter. Everything has to be efficient. I just do a simple I'll snell a snell a what do I have, 4-aught the Virginia style
right.
Mustad, and then I tie a double surgeon knot, maybe 3-4 inches above that for the weight. But the key is I don't want the hook longer than the weight. I want it the same distance, so this way you can feel the bite. That's for the rig. The other ones that I have, the white chin wreckers, I'll have, 1.5, 2 ounces for those. So really it depends on the bite. We'll start, have guys start with both. If we're hitting more with the rigs, Then I'll slowly change over. If we're hitting more, the jigs, sometimes it seems like those bigger fish, you get those bigger fish on the jigs. I think
no kidding.
It's less movement. Yeah, that's what I think. The 10-pound, I shot a video. We shot a show last year with Cermelli.
Joe Cermelli?
Yeah.
The famous and infamous Joe Cermelli, my main Italian writer.
Yes.
Good man. He's a good man. I like him. He's cool.
Yeah, we had a great day. And just like I said, we started with rigs. All of us started with rigs and we weren't getting a lot. We switched over the jigs and we ended up filling up the cooler and we released we got one over 10 pounds that we released.
Wow. Wow. Jersey Online is Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing, talking some tog techniques, man. they're out there. And the bite, as I said earlier, is intensifying. It's going to go gangbusters, balls to the wall into December easily. But they're, you know, again, it's doing the right thing, doing the wrong thing. Sometimes, would you agree with me, Cap, Brett? It could be the slightest little thing that make a difference between getting a bite and getting ignored, or making that hookup and losing a fish. These things are super temperamental, man.
Yeah, there's some tricks to the trade. I know guys that'll, you know, with your crabs, so we're using green crabs or white leggers, right? So this time of year, I prefer to use more green crabs, right? And then as that gets colder, then we'll switch from that green. As those togs start moving off those wrecks, we'll start, you know, in the deeper water, we'll use primarily white leggers. But generally, you know, we'll cut them in half. Some days, you know, we'll rip the shell off. Other days we leave the shell on. Or
why?
We'll
why right there? Why? What is it? Water temperature? Is it the structure? What?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's like sometimes it could be the current. It's just the way they're biting. They don't want. It's weird. Togs are weird. They, you know, they change every day. It's different. So you kind of have to like figure them out.
Mm-hmm.
So generally I start the same way. We start with the white legger. You know, I'll start a couple shell on. I'll do a couple shell off. If I do the shell on, the key is I will step on that to get that, to kind of crush it a little bit, get the
get the juice flowing. Yeah, baby, yeah.
But the thing is, the key is when you're fishing later in the year, you got to stay and you got to work the bite because you got to, it just seems like they're slow to start and then they start ramping up. You can't jump around. Like this time of year, you can jump around from spot to spot.
Right.
When it gets cold, you kind of have to stay with the bite because you don't. It takes a while to get it going. You don't want to just leave and then you have to start all over again. You know, so
sure.
Once it gets going, you stick with it. You get a couple, and they usually come in waves. You know, it might be slow a little bit. Tog anglers call it scratching. That's usually when they're barely biting it. They're rubbing against it, and that's where it. You know, some days they.
That's sorry, man.
Some days. Yes.
No. Go ahead. Scratch it and rub it against it. You're killing me.
Some days it's you know, it's slow. It's a little bit slower. The bite's slower. In other days, man, you drop down and it's like one hit and bang, you got them. But, you know, it's
sure.
So togger type, probably my favorite, other than fluking, my favorite type of fishing. It's so challenging.
It is, Brett, and you are aces on it. People, grab that cup, grab that rebel. We'll be right back with Captain Brett Taylor up against a hard break. Brett, stay right there. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG. Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of November 20th and 21st. We're talking tog. Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing. Captain Brett, I want to get to now the crabs, the choice of crustacean. We have the green crabs, which are, I call them the gangbangers, tough, resilient little suckers. You have the white leggers, very effective bait, can outfish green crabs when the time is right. My problem with the white leggers, Jonas crabs, whatever the proper name is, you look at them the wrong way, they die like peanut bunker. They seem to be very fragile. And a shout out to Paulie Baikal. I think he was called the Equalizer, former wrestler. He was up there in Viking Village. We used to go on to Carolyn Anthony, always on that New Year's Day trip and, you know, the week before. Brett, he was an ace and outfished everyone. And I don't know where he got him. I'm not going to ask him. He would have twisted me up like a pretzel. Fiddler crabs, Brett. Not fiddlers. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not sorry. I'm sorry. The hermit crabs. Not fiddlers. I'm already thinking something else. Hermit crabs. Have you used hermits?
I have. Yeah. Fiddler crabs, good for sheep's head. But, you know, definitely hermits for... So what the generally what we'll do is you said the green. So later in the year, white leggers in the hermits, right?
Yep.
We use the white leggers when the bite starts going down a little bit. We change over to the hermit crabs, and usually it's lights out. And if you fish a hermit on a jig, it's a great combo.
Yep.
They love them. They love them. They're a little bit soft, but, you know, they have hard body and then the soft body on it. But you get one hit. That's it.
That's
one
shot. Exactly right. Yep. Hey, Brett, let me hear this. This is what gets you. I know what's happened to you. If you have been togging, it's never happened to you. You're either the god of togging or you're lying. Brett, did you ever pull up your bait in the shell and it's all cleaned out, but the shell's still on the hook?
Yeah.
Like they suck all the meat. How the hell do they do that?
Tog is just, it's the only fishing where I think the most obscenities are thrown. When you're missing a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's so humbling. But when you stick a big one or you stick one, it's the best feeling in the world. That first 20 feet is great. But I wanted to make a point with those hermits is,
yep,
I have found that if you switch, when you switch from the whites, to, you know, you start putting on hermits, it's really hard to get them to hit the white crab again. So, like, once you switch over, like, they, you know what I mean? So it's tough. That's why, you know, we do that only when it's, you know, I don't start out with hermits.
Okay.
So we start out with a white crab first, and then kind of like, hey, the bite gets slow, they get a little scratchy. Then we'll switch over to hermits. But they are fantastic, especially on the jig. They are absolutely fantastic.
Captain Brett, your transition then from the green crabs to the Lagers, it starts what? Is it predicated on water temperature or just how the fish are reacting to the green crabs?
Yeah, I would say kind of both. Like, it kind of goes hand in hand with the water temp. I probably another week or two, then we'll be pretty much all white legger. Because if you go in December and you're using white crab or green crab, I'm not going to say it's 100% of the time, but generally the guys that are fishing the whites will outfish the green crab dramatically in the winter. Now, like I said, this time of year, it's off the jetties. Our jetties are loaded with green crab, so that's what they're feeding on. That's why the guys, you know, you fish in Barnacle Light, you fish in any of the other jetties, Cape May, Atlantic City, you're going to want green crab this, like, now.
That Sea Isle Avalon jetty, same thing.
Absolutely.
And under the current gets crazy, people, under that bridge. Well, Brett, now, to the jigs. Color make a difference in size. I want to get to color first. Now, I was in a shop up there in Weirtown. Guy came up to the counter, and he had six of the S&S. I think it was color was, check this out, people. Stanley, like, off the wall. He had the circle jerk jig last week we discussed. The color, fluorescent purple, is like a Prince album. It's called the Purple Nurple. And I said, yeah, you see that? And he says, dude, best tog color ever. He said, I don't know where you fish, but where I fish. And he paid. God, he paid whatever, they $5 a pop. And out he went. And I said, well, then I took a look at the selection of tog jigs. And also the two, three brands were there, well represented. And the colors, there were some like white and even pink, you know, tones of pink in there. And some very lifelike that looked like a green crab or, you know, or looked like a little Asian crab. Color make a difference?
I think it does. I think it makes a, I always say, you know how like, if it's not chartreuse, it's no use, or, you know, if you're fluking, it's white. I like the glow. I love glow I think the glow jigs are great, for tog. That purple nurple, that color, absolutely. That kind of matches the shell color. I'm not sure if they can, you know, if it's just the, you know, if they could see it, because color changes as you go for water depth.
Right, so, absolutely. Yeah.
They might be seeing a little bit different, but that might stand out enough where, you know, between that standing out plus the smell of the crab, that gets them, you know, you get more hookups. But I just say my golden rule is glow, anything glow. And if you get the pure glow or you get the glow with like a little bit of that, I think Stan makes that, it has like, it's like a white crab glow.
Yeah,
It's excellent, phenomenal.
Captain Brett, choosing the jig weight. Now, a shout out to Big Doug Itchin up there. I think he's in Barnacle to wear. He's in your area. If you saw him, you'd know him. He's a moose of a man. What a fisherman! What he weighed in some tog at his shop. I happened to pull in, see his truck. Hey, it's DI. I call him. Zip in. Yeah, they weren't big, Brett. 5-6 pounds. Brett, he was fishing in 45 to 60 feet. On his two rods were two different color, you know, S&S chin wreckers. ounce and a half and two, and that depth, isn't that kind of light down here? Is that going to have a current down there? Going to have those things moving around?
It's I mean, the current obviously affects it, but that's the right sizes for that. The lower the better. So if there's a current running, a lot of the better tog fishermen, they'll just pitch that jig up ahead.
Right, and let that come down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then just and a lot of good tog fishermen will pitch around the wreck. You're not going to just drop straight down every time. You're going to pitch around the wreck, mm-hmm. try to find those little holes. But as far as sizes, yeah, that's what we use, one and a half. If I can get away with a one and a half in that foot, that's what we're using, because you can feel the bite better. It's not bulky. You'll catch more fish than, say, if you're using a 3 ounce jig. I think with my charters, the only thing we go up to like 2.5, that's the most we'll use. And that's in like 80 feet of water. Obviously, current has a play. If there's a lot of ripping full moon current, then we,
we
may not.
Yeah.
So we'll be fishing more of the rig. But it's pretty, those jigs kind of like revolutionized the tog fishery.
I mean, back when, Brett, when I started doing it in 2000, 2001, up, shout out to Carl Darian over there, fishing out of Rye, New York, in the coast behind these trillion-dollar homes. We were basically using, like, the regular ball jigs, chartreuse or white, yep, or pink, with a chunk of crab on it. A lot of times we had some fish that, because they were freshwater hooks, Brett would straighten out the hook. That's what blow my mind, yep.
Strong.
Captain Brett, on your line now, your connection, strictly braid, even in the shallower water?
Yes, braid to like a fluorocarbon mono leader. Basically, I used, inshore 60 pound. Offshore, some of the stickier spots I'll use a 80 pound, a mono. I just do a uni to uni connection from the braid to
right, there you go,
the mono. And then, there's no terminal tackle. It'll be, either tied directly to a, the tog jig, or I'll make that rig setup that I make.
Captain Brett, as many tog fishermen as there are, and anglers, I should say. I see this thing, fisherwoman. What's a fisherwoman? An angler. Okay. There are many different tog rods. Some prefer a very soft tip, a whippy tip, if you will. I see some guys fishing, and Brett, very effective. Guy says, Tommy P, it's all in your fingers on the line, feeling it, that are basically fishing broomstick rods, all successful. Your choice of rods?
I like something that has a good, strong midsection, but it has a very sensitive tip.
Okay.
I love the... forgive me if I get this wrong. It's the G Loomis. I think it's the bounce back, the BB, BBR, BBC. I forget the number, but that's a phenomenal. That I have four setups of that. And then you spoke about him, Doug. I know Doug Itchin.
Big Doug, DJ.
He turned me on. I spoke to him this past week for about 20 minutes at the down the lagoon, and he turned me on. He's been using a Tsunami. I don't know if it's a carbon, the black carbon light series, or
carbon shield. I saw carbon shield.
Yes. Yeah. He showed me, and it's a super sensitive tip with a solid backbone. And he said he does phenomenal. So they're $100 or 120, whatever it is. I said, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect Tosca setup. So yeah, I don't like the broomsticks. I'm not into that. I like that sensitive tip, because sometimes that bite is so subtle, just that little tiny, they tap it, and then that's when you're setting it.
There you go. Yep. Brett, set on a jig, set on a rig, a sweep, different nuances in getting that hook through that drill, through those teeth?
Same set, hook set. The big thing is I tell my clients, you need to have that rod down to the water, and absolutely no slack in the line. So you want to keep that still. Yes, it's a pain sometimes. You get a little bit of wave action. You kind of have to keep that nice and still. But you're watching that. As soon as you feel it, you can see it, you can feel it, especially with that braid. That's when you're setting that and straight hook set straight up. And then soon as you know, you feel that weight of that fish, start cranking.
There you go. Join us on the line, Captain Brett Taylor, Real Reaction Sport Fishing. Brett, one more question before I let you go. The conservation aspect with the tog, I mentioned they're a slow-growing species. They start to spawn, as per Peter Clark, marine fisheries biologist, head of the reef project, told me, Tom, they're going to start to spawn 10, 11 inches maybe. But you and the ages now, the myth, well, the aging algorithms that they're using now, Brett, they used to think a fish this big was 30 or 40 years old. It's not. They're finding it's less, you know, but it's still an old fish, you know, 20, 25 years. Your take on you encourage a release of fish in at the double digit weights, because I know you guys, your flares do catch those with frequency, or is, hey, it's legal, you can take it. What's your deal on the conservation end of things?
You know, obviously, if you're fishing your own boat, it's your choice, right? On my charters, I tell the guys, hey, if it's over 10 pounds, we're getting a pick. It's going back. If you don't like that, then book with someone else.
Okay.
The thing is, it's, you know, as you said, those fish, a 10-pound, 12-pound, 15-pound fish, 20-plus years old, they get more productive in breeding or spawning, which I should say, as they age.
There you go.
So keep it, especially if it's big female. You know, you want to put that back because that big female has a huge cavity that for egg production compared to a 11-inch female, that the cavity is much smaller for the egg production. So you want those. You want to keep that this fishery going because it's such a fantastic fishery.
Yep, it is. And I'll tell you, Jersey, along our coast, and I'm up north from the Sandy Hook Reef down to Cape May Deep Water. We got some tremendous tog fishing opportunities here in the Garden State. Well, Brett, before I let you go, how is that wonderful family, the lovely Jen, little Jake, and Luke?
They're doing great. We actually, real quick, we were down Florida off of Fort Myers. We did two charters. The captain was great, Clarence Reed, C. Reed Charters. Just give him a little shout-out. We had everybody on the boat, even 16-month-old Jake in a life preserver was out there catching. Well, he didn't catch too much. We just kept feeding him and trying to keep him. You know, he's playing with his cars while Jen and Luke were bailing. I think Luke had a couple snook over 36 inches that he caught and released. But everybody's doing great. We're just enjoying life, we'll say.
Listeners, just a word in here about young Luke Taylor. The lovely Dee Marie and I were stopping at an ice cream place a few weeks ago along Route 9 there, and there's a tap at the window. I turn around. Holy Christ, it's Brett. Taylor has a brother? Is that his brother? It was, I lowered the window. It was Luke. Now, listen, believe me, this kid has Mike Trout. Look out if you're still playing, because this kid right now, he's 13. Size 14 shoe, and what is it, Brady? Has 130 mile an hour fastball somewhere along those lines?
No,
120.
He's throwing close to 70. And the crazy thing is, he hasn't even hit puberty yet. So, you know, his hands are as big as mine. So he's going to be.
He is going to be a star.
I got to get my licks in now because eventually he's going to be towering over me.
So. There we go. Captain Brett, give that Facebook page, phone number, website. What do you got, brother?
Okay, the website is Real Reaction Charters. You can also, the Facebook, the same thing. My number is 609-290-7709. I don't have very many dates left for this year.
This is true.
Most of it's booking for 2022, so pretty much all I maybe have like 3 dates left for the entire year, but yeah, that's it. It's all good.
Well, Brett, thanks for joining us, sharing your tips, your techniques, your expertise, Captain Brett Taylor. I always say, it's my program, Real Reaction Sport Fishing. I see that sounds better. His did it with Real Reaction Charters. Yeah, half a dozen ones, six the other. Brett, you take care. Happy Thanksgiving. All hope to see you on the water soon, bro.
All right, thank you, Tom. Thank you very much.
See you. Ooh, way long on that segment. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News. I'm Jill Nato. Kyle Rittenhouse, the man at the center of the high-profile murder trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin, spoke to Fox soon after a jury declared him not guilty.
The jury reached the correct verdict. Self-defense is not illegal.
Rittenhouse will sit down for an interview for Tucker Carlson tonight. That airs this Monday. He was facing murder charges after the killing of two men at a racial justice protest. One of those men was Joseph Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum's fiance, Carrie Ann Swart, was in Kenosha.
I feel like in this case, it feels like the victims' lives don't matter. And I don't think that that's acceptable.
There was a mostly peaceful demonstration in Kenosha with about 300 people last night. In Portland, police declared a riot, saying some people were breaking windows. They broke up the crowd, threatening them with arrests. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight, it'll be clear and cold. There will be less wind, low 28. Saturday, sunshine will be fading behind increasing clouds, high 51. Rather cloudy Saturday night, low 37. Milder Sunday with times of clouds and sun, the high 60. There will be some rain early Monday. Then clouds will break for sun, high 56 early. The temperature should fall in the afternoon. I'm AccuWeather's Kurt Lubinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We're going to keep with the TOG subject here. As mentioned earlier with Captain Brett Taylor, joining us on the line right now is Bob Misak, outdoor writer extraordinaire, fisherman extraordinaire, trapper extraordinaire, badass deer and turkey hunter extraordinaire, but he is the ace on the jetty. He is the ultimate jetty jockey, sheep's head, and TOG. His catch rate is nothing short of phenomenal. One thing I notice about Misak, people, I watch him, he is always, always willing to share his knowledge, not only with newcomers, newbies, beginners, novices, whatever you want to call them, even experienced toggers on the jetty. Watch Misak swing these big bastards up. And he says, this is what you do. This is what you're doing wrong. It's a pleasure to watch this man work. Misak, how you doing, brother? How's the missus? Everything good?
I'm good. Everybody's good over here. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. The jetty calls, Misak. I know you've been involved with the surf now with the LBI Classic. But, Bob, we were talking with Taylor, you know, out in the boats on the Rex Reefs, what have you. And he did mention the inlet bites right now along the jetty is torrid, on fire. Big difference, catching the little ones, letting them go, getting maybe a keeper here and there, and consistently catching big keeper tog like you do. I don't know if your secrets, your techniques, your patience, what do you look for? First of all, let's kick it off with that. We only have a few minutes in this segment, people, unfortunately. Bob, I watch you. Nope, not here. Nope, not there. That's my spot. You position yourself, and then you proceed to kick tog ass. What are you looking for there, Misak?
Well, in current, it's pretty hard to fish those big jetty rocks without losing rigs. I remember the first time I went, we lost a bunch of rigs. But you got to walk up and down and find a happy spot, so to speak. In other words, you know, you run your sinker down the bottom a couple times. If you lose a couple rigs, you got to move over, even if you move over 10 feet or so. Mm-hmm. Find yourself a nice, happy spot where you're not getting hung up all the time, and then you could hook up. You could catch one fish after another with, you know, your reaction time. People that fish for tog, you know, it takes a couple times. Your reaction time has to be really quick on hook nets, and after a while, you get it down. You know, jigs have been making it almost effortless for novices to catch big tog on a jetty. You know, the fish has to stab at it off the bottom, so he can't really manipulate the bait like he would a high-low rig. He could manipulate and get that bait off there a lot of times.
Right.
But with jigs, it seems that they stab at the bottom. I've seen videos of it, and they can't really manipulate the bait as much. So people are doing better. They're making it so, you know, they don't give up so quickly.
Right. Well, Misak, let me interrupt you for a second. You've been one of the visionaries in the tog jigging game. Again, as with Brett Taylor, helping Stanley design some of these top-rate, very productive tog jigs. When did you say to yourself, hit yourself in the head with the palm of your hand, say, Mies, this is the way to go, as opposed to the rig? And then you perfected it, you fine-tuned it. Misak, you honed it to the point where it's like you're watching a robot out there. Bada bing, yeah, the togginator. Bada bing, bada boom, yeah. Bada bing.
the jigs of today, you know, the three companies that come to mind for me are, you know, Magic Tail, bottom sweeper jigs and the famous S&S rig. They're catching big tog with these jigs. Now, all these guys that are making these newer jigs, jigs of old had big, thick silver hooks. And it was really hard to keep them sharp. You know, after a couple of fish, you start, you know, they don't hook. They get dull.
Right.
So these guys, they innovated the jig world by putting, like, you know, gammy-style hooks inside these jigs. They're sharp. They sting those tog. They can't get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really have a lot of trouble, even if you're a jig fisherman, which I think you probably will not once you get your reaction time down. They hit fast, they steal bait, and your reaction time is ridiculous. So what I've been doing lately is, you know, I refuse to believe that my 60-year-old reaction time has changed. So I'm tying a stinger hook on a jig, a little tiny stinger hook.
No way, man, really?
And you know what? I bury it in the crab. And it ups my game. And if people did that, you would catch a lot more tog. It's a little harder to get that little hook out of their mouth. But most people that catch blackfish know that they don't swallow hooks. Their mouths are too small. I've never in my life saw a tog swallow a hook. So with that said, you could use these little stingers and you can really make yourself look good. You could, you know.
Listeners, you heard it here. Rack and Fin, November 20th from Bob Misak, the Jetty Ace when it comes to tog. Well, Bob, one thing, we're up against a hard break coming up in a few minutes, but one thing, Bob, I noticed you do, and you said, we'll talk about it on the radio. I've watched you. Sort of reminds me of, listen, when you ever see the videos of TV shows like the fox or the coyote in the winter, 3 feet of snow, and they're looking around. Whoa! They jump, pounce, and grab that mouse under the snow. I've watched Misak walk along, look at Jetty, and not work it out, work it down through a hole in the rocks and catch freaking tog. Bob, I call it the hole in the rock technique. How long have you been doing that? You don't do it often, but when you do, you're incredibly productive with that technique. What are you looking for?
It's tide. You know, incoming tide. If you fish incoming tide on a heavy current, you're going to lose every rig you have before you catch a tog.
Listen, he said that. He said that for my benefit because he watched me, just shook his head, kept walking. Remember that, Bob?
When the tide comes up, fish move in. When the tide goes out, fish kind of move out.
Right.
A lot of times on an outgoing tide, I'm catching fish 30 yards off the rocks. They're actually sitting out there on the bottom.
I've seen it, yeah.
When the tide comes in, they go in. So, you know, if you're going to lose all your rigs, certainly you're going to, I walk along, drop that thing down until you find 6 to 8 feet of water where you can pull it back up without any resistance. You'll catch all the tog you want to keep. You know, it's a great method. Me and my nephew went out in the summer, and I taught him how to do that. We actually did come up with a kind of funny name for it. We call it crevasse fishing. And I'll tell you what, it's very productive.
Yeah.
Very productive.
That, Melissa, that's the writer end of Misak coming out there, crevasse fishing. I like that, Bob. Hey, listen, now you write for Furfish Game, write for all the national mags, local mags, regional mags. What about an article on that, Misak? You'd open up a lot of eyes.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting some stuff together and sending it out to a few of the magazines.
I have time to sleep between, again, fishing the tournaments, doing the trap, and doing the hunting and everything. I think you're an automaton, Misak.
Yeah, well, we went duck hunting this week too, so I could add that, and that takes up some time as well.
Bob, on your end now, I've seen you out there sometimes with two outfits, sometimes three. When do you pick, again? You said, okay, the conditions are here. I'm going to pick this out for that. If you had to bring only one rod out there, what setup would you have? A 7-foot rod, 8-foot rod, 6.5? What's the dealio?
Yeah, I have a 7-foot medium heavy, and it's stout, though. I use good I have a friend who writes for the Asbury Park Press, Dan Riddell.
Danny Riddell!
He makes all my rods for me and my wife's rods, and they got good backbone. They're 7 foot long. But we wear cleats. We get down close to the water. We don't need a long rod. We're down there getting personal with those fish. And I like to catch them on light reels. You know, I use a Stradic 4000 and I put 50-pound test on it. You know, you can't get more than 30 yards of line on it.
Right, yeah.
You don't need more than 30 yards of line.
Listen, so, I think Misak has mountain goat antecedents. If you ever watch him rock hop out there, the little thing, there he is. You watch a mountain goat go up the cliff.
It's kind of funny to say that. We're getting ready to go out and try to cap off this year in the next couple of days, and I had to drop some weight.
Bob, look at you sideways. You look like a clarinet. You're heavy. His ears must have got a little fatter. I say he has a metabolism of a weasel or a ferret or an ermine. That's amazing.
All the weights in my head, Tom.
Bob, listen, before I let you go, I've seen you release keepers. You keep one. Sometimes you let them all go. Your take on the conservation aspect, listen, you know, Tom P's the meat man. Kill your limit, don't limit your kill. But in all seriousness, with the tog, the slow-growing species that it is, what do you do about it? You keep one for dinner, maybe two. What's your deal?
Yeah, I don't get crazy. I mean, I'll keep just enough to eat. A lot of guys I noticed today are doing the right thing. They're catching these personal best 15s, 11s, and 12s, and I'm watching them release them, and they're growing a heart for tog. I mean, given the bass situation the way it is, I see a lot of people growing a good heart for bass and putting them back, and the same thing's happening with tog now. And it's really good to see, you know, other than the illegal stuff that goes on with people trying to keep those togs. Yep. Everything else seems to be in check, and I think the tog numbers are going to stick around because a lot of these guys, like, you know, Stanley Gala and Dante Suriente, you know, they're going out there, and these guys go on 100 wrecks a year, and they fish just to fish one tournament, and they put all their fish back, and it's great to see, and I commend them for it, and I think it's a wonderful thing. They only grow less than an inch a year, and everybody needs to keep that in mind when they go out there and take tog, you know what I mean?
Well said, Bob. Well said. Bob Misak, outdoor writer extraordinaire, tog fisherman on the jetties, off the chart. Also, I didn't want to touch on sheephead. That's a whole different show. Bob, you take care. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the lovely missus. Get out of that surf, man. Try to get a bass for that tournament, man. There's a lot of prizes still hanging out there.
I know, we're trying. We're a little snake pit. The colder it gets, the less we go.
Bobby, you take care, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for having us.
See you. Bob Misak, great guy. What a jetty ace. Okay, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Hi, I'm Dan Tracy. I'm a workers' compensation attorney. At Goldenberg Mackler, we've handled thousands of workers' compensation claims over the years. Our experienced attorneys understand the law and will fight to get you the benefits that you deserve. When injured at work, make the right call to Goldenberg Mackler. Call us at 609-344-7131. That's 609-344-7131. Or visit us online at gmslaw.com.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back for our final segment of Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of November 20 and 21st. I said in the opening monologue, and Happy New Year to all. When a season opens or reopens, indeed calls for a Happy New Year. And one of my favorite kicks off Monday and Tuesday of next week, the Thanksgiving week. It's the Division of Fish and Wildlife Bureau Freshwater Fisheries Winter Trout Stocking Program. A lot of fish going out there. Now, there's 18, actually added Amwell, or no, they added Rosedale. So 19 waters are going to be stocked with these two-year-old, gorgeous, big, fat, beautiful rainbow trout. South Jersey is very well represented. Birch Grove Park Ponds, right behind the studio here. The first two ponds in the park are going to receive 190 fish. Haddon Lake, 210. Lake Shenandoah, 240. Ponder Lodge Pond, one of the most beautiful venues in the state, much less alone in South Jersey, is going to get 170. Rowan's Pond, 100. Rowan's a tight little pond, man. I got to like that place. Shaw's Mill Pond, 210, and South Violent Park Lake. I don't call it park pond. It's big. It's 20-something acres. It's going to receive 190. Now, Tuesday is the day. Usually back here at Birch Grove, you'll see the truck pull up at 11:30. Watch them stock the fish. You can fish as soon as they're being released. And then run down to Ponder Lodge. Again, if you've ever been down here, check it out. It seems like a lake meant for trout. Spring-fed, clear, gorgeous, gorgeous water. Join us online right now. Very special guest on short notice is Ed Conley. He is the superintendent of the PeaQuest Trout Hatchery up there in Warren County. Give us a little lowdown on the winter program. Eddie, how you doing, brother?
Good. How are you today, Tom? I hope everybody's well out there.
We're doing great, Ed. One, kudos, hats off, congratulations, round of applause for an incredible October trout stocking program. Now we have the winter one. That was, what, 4 or 5 weeks ago? The trucks are going to be rolling Monday and Tuesday, Ed, and you have some gorgeous fish going out. Ed, when is the actual planning for the fall and winter stocking? A year previous, 2 years previous? These are two-year-old fish, correct?
Correct. These are the winter fish are 25 months old. So basically, they were eggs in 2019. So basically, you know, we set up fish for the fall and winter programs ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the winter fish usually get taken out of the spring program fish there.
Right.
They get the extras from there. And that's how the program works.
And Ed, the fish are just an absolutely gorgeous people, gorgeous condition, vibrant of color, thick as shoulder. Use some 2, 4, 6 pound tests. They will kick your butt. Now, Ed, way back when the winter program started, it's 2000, somewhere around there, if you could refresh my memory, it was a standard 9-inch hatchery, nine and a half, you know, year old fish. When was a change made to go to the 2 year old program?
Yeah, you're correct. The program started back in 2000 there. And they were stocking like 9 to 11 inch trout. And basically, the program was split up where the northern waters actually got stocked the week of Thanksgiving. And then the South Jersey ponds got stocked in January. That only lasted till about 2004. And then all the fish were stocked before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. To give anglers more opportunity there. You know, during the holiday weekend. So, in 2006, the program was revamped for the fall and the winter, in which we started stocking the larger fish. These fish usually range about 14 to 16 inches, and you know, they're probably about a pound and a half a piece right now.
Ed, they're gorgeous. And Ed, I say this all the time. I know guys down here and some gals, don't buy the trout stamp in the spring. They wait until October, November. Hey, man, and they hit it hard. They do hit the lake and the Morris River down there in Cumberland Sound. They hit it hard. And this is more of a money's worth deal for us. A lot bigger fish. And a lot less fishing pressure. So it's a win-win all around from the spring through the winter programs. Hats off to you, man. Great job.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, Mr. Conley, we hope to see you soon. I try to get up to Hatcher every once in a while, but usually they see me coming, they lock the door. And I will say one thing, a seamless operation up there. I put this in the articles. You have a crackerjack crew. No energy is wasted. I mean, it is... from opening gun to the closing bell, whether you're stocking the 170 something waters in the spring or the ones in the fall, you guys are on top of it big time.
Yeah, every year we provide over 600,000 fish we stock for the three programs, the spring, fall, and winter programs. Generally, the spring we see anywhere from 570 to 600,000.
Yeah.
You know, and between the fall program is usually around 21,000, and the winter program is usually between 4,000 to 5,000.
Great job. Great job. Ed Conley, thanks for joining us on Rackafin. You have a happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you at the hatchery one of these days when you let me in.
Okay. Sounds good, Tom.
Take care, brother. Yeah, this winter trout stocking program is aces across the board. Now, speaking of trout, speaking of fresh water, a new movement is out there, which I'm very proud to announce on Rack and Fin Radio. That's been going on for a while now. Spearheaded by a longtime acquaintance of Tom P. Long, long time, going back to, I believe, the late 70s. Mr. Lou Martinez. Organization is United Freshwater Anglers of New Jersey. Again, we have the saltwater, you have the yeoman's job at the JCA, the RFA. Now there is an organization out protecting the rights of the Garden State's freshwater anglers, north, Central, and South. Right now, the focus is on Greenwood Lake up there on the New York-Jersey border. What's going on? Join us on the line is Lou Martinez. Tell us a little bit about that, the genesis of this organization and what it holds for the future. Lou, we only have a few minutes, but thanks for joining us. I know it's crazy musky fishing time for you, Martinez. I got that. Walleye fishing time for you, Louie. I got that. Plus, he's involved with the band Hailstorm. Lizzie, what the hell? And Myers says, that's Lou. Boy, he looks a lot better than you at his age and your age. That's because the guy doesn't stop. Louie, how's it going, man? Great to have you on Rack and Fin for the very first time after all these years. How you doing?
Great, Tommy. Thank you for having me on.
This is way back when Louie was with the UBNJ, spearheaded, punched the antis right in the face with the counter pro-hunting demonstrations up there at the Great Swamp. Impressed even one of my editors at the time, an avowed anti, who came to me afterwards and said, you know, when you lay it out like that, I really see the point of I just could never do it. And I said, I'll mention her first name, Ellen. That's fine. But at least you saw what it's all about. Lou, I'm forever indebted to you because she was a fevered anti. After that meeting with you, Martinez, up there at the Swamp, not that she was converted, but saw things in a whole different light.
Well, she really did because she sent me a letter and I remember it vividly because she drew a little fox at the end of her name.
And listen, trust me, she was a fox. Anyway, Louie, so listen, to the United Freshwater Anglers in New Jersey, we don't have much time left, Louie, we're closing out the show. To the Greenwood Lake situation, explain that, please.
This year in April, we found that we were not giving access, public access, to one of the premier lakes in the state of New Jersey. We formed the United Freshwater Anglers of New Jersey in an effort to get the situation resolved. We didn't make much headway with the marinas that control access to the lake. We contacted the Division of Fish and Wildlife and the Fish and Game Council, showed them on page 30 of the compendium of the Fish Digest that Greenwood Lake is a 24-hour-a-day lake, which
right.
means you should be able to access it anytime in a 24-hour period. This was not happening. And so we had to take our petition on to change.org. And we combined approximately 2,000 signatures, sent it to senators up in the 24th District, F. Parker Space, Stephen Rotho, and Harold Wirtz. They had already been working on a lakes bill, which would allocate $10 million for water access and also for improved access to the, water quality and improved access.
Mm-hmm.
To the general public. The first $750,000 of this money is earmarked to pay for water quality. That's because of the algae blooms that we've been having. So that's important to take care of. But what's also equally important is to allow fishermen that have paid for the resource, have paid thousands of dollars to stock these lakes, have paid money to make these lakes so popular, and then now for us to not be given permission to use them is an out and out.
It's abhorrent. Absolutely abhorrent.
Exactly.
Hey, look, listen, people want to get involved with this. Where's more information on United Freshwater Anglers in New Jersey?
You can find us right now on NewJerseyFishing.com. Jerry Zawoski has given us permission to use his website. We're a fledgling organization. We do have approximately 2,000 new members. That's how we communicate with them right now. We will be putting up our own website and our own Facebook page in the coming year. We are getting noticed. We made it to the front page of the Star Ledger.
Whoa!
Back in June. And the senator from the 26th Legislative District, Pinocchio, and Assemblyman Jay Weber are right now pushing legislation that would Make Greenwood Lake it would be seen as a public lake that needs public access, and their bill would make it a law that every lake in New Jersey that is a public lake needs to have a public access ramp.
And there you go. Listen, north, central, south. If it can happen up north, it can happen central, it can happen south. And trusting people, not just saying this for Lou's benefit, because he's on the Rack and Fin radio line, I've known him for decades. A bulldog has nothing on him. A pit bull has nothing on him. When Lou latches onto a topic, a subject, a cause, look out. Lou, you have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us for the first time on Rack and Fin. Hope to have you back. And by the way, Martinez, lay it easy on the muskies and walleye. You're kicking their asses, man.
Hey, Tom, we got to keep busy. Otherwise, we rough.
You take care, brother.
Take care. Thank you, Tommy. Yeah. Bye.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Get out there and enjoy. Happy Thanksgiving to all. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.